How's everybody doing today? Well, I know I'm glad to be here. I hope y'all are. And I'm certainly looking forward to the week of what's coming up. I think it's going to be a good time. I think I'm going to have a good time regardless of if anybody else does. And, I think you have to prepare your hearts for revival. And one way to do that is to pray and ask God to do something in your heart. And I think a lot of us have been doing that, and I know I've been doing it. And, if that's the mindset we have, we come expecting something, God's going to give us something. But if we come to sit here like a bump on a log and don't prepare and don't pray and ask to see God's face, nothing's going to happen. But we got to want it. And, if you have a desire, the Bible says God's going to give us the desires of our heart. And I think if our heart desires to have revival, God's going to grant that. God's not going to say, I'm not going to give you revival. God wants to draw closer to us. And, I think if he sees people that wants to draw closer to him, then he's going to move on that. And so we need to come in with that mindset this week of drawing closer to the Lord. And, it's not like God hadn't done anything for us. He certainly blessed us over the last year, I know for sure. And, I think since Brother Barker was here last time, about all the things that have happened, people getting saved, people coming back to church, our church growing spiritually, and physically, and also financially, and I'm thankful for that. And just looking forward to what God's going to do in this next revival that we have. And revival's not going to, 1 week's not going to change us, but it can be the start of something new and something big in our hearts. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'm thankful to be saved this morning. Certainly a good thing to be saved. You know, a lot of people, I was talking today about this the other day, a lot of people look at salvation as a way to get out of hell. And while that is part of salvation, that's not the only thing there is in salvation. If you get saved to be a fire escape, it's not a good salvation. There's so much more to being saved than just escaping hell. You get a personal relationship with the Lord. You get a church family. You get a Bible to read. You get all that good stuff. And there's a lot of benefits of salvation other than just escaping hell. And there's nothing wrong with being excited about escaping hell. But the best thing about getting saved is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior and having your sins forgiven. And a lot of times people look, we think about Easter coming up, and I guess it has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about, but I feel like saying it. We think about Easter coming up next week. A lot of people look at the cross and how it's cute, and they try to make it an ornament and say that it's a sacred thing, but there's nothing cute about the cross. The cross is where Jesus Christ came to earth to die for our sins because God couldn't take sin and he had to pay for it, and he sent his son to die for us. And if we realize the brutality of the cross and how that's the most important thing because God hates sin that much that he came and suffered that for us, then we can truly have revival in our lives. And we don't just look at it as something cute and small and fancy, but it's a big deal because Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, came and lowered himself to where we are and died on the cross to pay our sin debt, because without him, we would be lost and on our way to hell today. And I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful that the cross is more than just something that comes around once a year in Easter, but it's what got me in the right standing with God, and then also the resurrection of Jesus Christ after he died. If he didn't rise from the grave, we don't have that promise of resurrection, but he paid our sin, he took it away, and now we're going to be living with him in heaven. I'm just thankful for that, and I know my boss's dad died recently, and she's saying she hopes he's where he's supposed to be and thinks he is. I know where I'm going. I know where my loved ones that trusted Jesus Christ are. And I don't have to have somebody pray me into heaven or pay me into heaven or do anything like that. All I had to do was trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He paid it 2,000 years ago, and I accepted it. And I don't have to worry about anything after I'm dying because Jesus has taken my place on the cross of Calvary. And so I'm thankful for that. And that's something I've been thinking about a lot this week. She's been talking about it, and I know she misses her dad, and she says he's where he's supposed to be. And that's true, but I don't know. I don't believe the man was saved. He's a professing Roman Catholic, and he said he wasn't worried about it because God knew who he was and he knew who God was. So we'll see. I don't know, but y'all pray for her. Pray I can be a testimony, a witness to her, because certainly this is a hard time for her, and I know that I can. I know the one that can get her out of the mess she's in. But hopefully I can be of encouragement to her and maybe see her get saved. I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about some people in the Bible. Obviously, the Lord Jesus is the best example that we can follow in the Bible. I'm going to look at three different men in the Bible today that we can emulate. If we emulate that, I think we can have God work in our lives and have revival in our lives. And I'm not the least bit nervous that two of my favorite preachers in the whole wide world are listening to me talk this morning. And so if I get a little nervous sounding, Y'all pray for me, okay? The title of this lesson this morning is Don't Be an Average Joe. Don't be an average Joe. And I think by the time we get done here, you'll see why I came up with that. I'm going to look at three different men in the Bible named Joseph and some things we can draw from their lives. First one we'll look at is Joseph, the son of Jacob. He's also known as Joseph of Egypt. He played a crucial role in the history of Israel. He was a faithful servant of God despite facing numerous trials, and he gave himself to God by trusting God's plan even in adversity. And the second one I want to look at is Joseph, the husband of Mary, the caregiver of Jesus. And he's often overshadowed by other people, but he exhibited remarkable faithfulness and obedience to God, especially in his caring for and protecting of Jesus as he was growing up. And he gave of himself by sacrificing his own plans and reputation to fulfill God's purpose. And the third Joseph I want to look at is Joseph of Arimathea. He's not a well-known figure, but he demonstrated courage and loyalty to Jesus, particularly after he died on the cross. He gave him the tomb to be buried, and he gave of himself by risking his status and reputation to honor Jesus. And the importance of faithfulness and giving to God. Faithfulness is a recurring theme in the Bible. And I think by looking at these three men and highlighting the significance of their faith and their journeys, we can see how that it's important to do. So I want to first look at Joseph, the son of Jacob, probably the most famous Joseph in the Bible. And his description of Joseph is a man of character. Joseph was a man of character. And he was known for his integrity, his wisdom, his resilience. And these traits were evident throughout his life's challenges. He gave of himself to God by remaining steadfast in his faith and obedience to God, even when he was faced with adversity. He was sold by his brothers into slavery. He went down to Egypt, and he was a long ways away from everybody. But despite that, he still stayed faithful to God and steadfast, and he gave of himself by serving others, even in difficult circumstances. And Joseph, he exhibited his faithfulness through temptation. And let's look at Genesis chapter number 39. I'm going to read verses 7 through 12. Genesis 39, 7 through 12, and talk about how Joseph exhibited his faithfulness through temptation. And this is something that we can look at and exhibit our faith and our courage for the Lord, even though temptation is going to come. We know that if we're still in our body of our flesh and living in this world, that temptation is going to come, but we can exhibit our faithfulness if we resist the devil during temptation. Genesis 39, 7 through 12 says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is his with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I am, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" I find it interesting there. He didn't say sin against Potiphar or my master. He said sin against God. He knew that what he was going to do was going to be a sin against God. It would be a sin against Potiphar, but he had his priority right. He knew it was going to be a sin against God. It says, "It came to pass that she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her." And it says, "And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she called him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." Now we see that Joseph, he refused to succumb to that temptation he had. And I believe that Joseph had purpose in his heart a long time ago not to do that. We think about how Joseph was sensitive to God in his life. Think about the dreams he had, and God spoke to him, and God was using him. And then he got down to Egypt. He was a long way from his mom and daddy. His parents weren't there. His siblings weren't there. None of his family weren't there. But he knew God was there. And he said, "I'm not going to sin against God. This temptation's coming into my life, but I'm not going to yield to it." And that showed that he had a faithfulness to God, because he didn't yield to that temptation. He didn't let that lust and that temptation draw him in to make him sin against God, sin against his master, and against his family. And, you know, if Joseph had done that there, he never would have been able to help his family in the future. The stand that Joseph took as a young man helped him when he grew up to be able to provide for his family. Because if Joseph had compromised and given up, then he would have not had any testimony before God. He wouldn't have been able to witness to people in the prison. He would never got to the palace if he hadn't taken that stand back when he was a young man. I believe he was a pretty young man when that happened. And he said he wasn't going to sin against God. He knew nobody else was in that house but him and the wife, but God was also there. And he was aware of God's presence in his life, and he didn't yield to God, the temptation he had. He yielded to God drawing him out of that. And he gave himself by prioritizing his relationship with God over personal gratification. And I think that's a good step to revival. If we prioritize the relationships with the Lord and with the church and the Bible and not worry about our personal feelings and what we want and what we have, we can have revival and we can demonstrate integrity before the world. And that's what we need to have today. The world needs people of integrity, because there's not many people with integrity. Think about our political system and our school system and even our churches today. There's no integrity in any institution in America. And I think that if we can show some integrity, we can make a difference in the world. And we draw closer to the Lord. And let's look at Genesis 39, 20 through 23. Joseph remained faithful to God, didn't yield to his temptation, but he still remained faithful even after he'd gone through a difficult time and went to prison. Genesis 39, 20 through 23. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Why do you think that was? Because Joseph had won that battle and hadn't yielded to the temptation. Even though the world was going back against him, God was still with him and gave him mercy and favor in the sight of those people. Even the heathen people in Egypt, they realized there's something different about this guy. And he knew that was there. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Can you imagine that? You know, they say the inmates running the asylum. I guess that's kind of what that is there. The inmates was running the prison, but they knew that Joseph wasn't going to go anywhere. They probably knew, and I think Potiphar knew that Joseph didn't do it, but he had to put him in there. And that shows that these people knew that even though he'd been accused of something, his walk and his life and his testimony backed up what he was doing. And, you know, if we're accused of something, we need to be able to have our testimony back up what we say. We need to have integrity. We don't need to be yielding to temptation. If we yield to temptation and we try to follow the things of the world, people aren't going to see any difference in us. They're not going to be able to trust us. They're not going to say, hey, there's something different about that Christian. But I think these people looked at Joseph and they said there's something different about him, and the prisoners, they even submitted to him. They knew, said that guy's different, and the keeper of the prison put him in charge. And that's impressive to me. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and all that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Even in prison, Joseph continued to trust and remain faithful to God, and he eventually rose to a position of authority. He gave himself by using this position to help others later on down the road. God was able to use Joseph's early years to build a foundation to where he saved his entire family from a famine. And we talked about that famine a couple of months ago when I talked, and we realized how he met their needs so many times, and he was there. And I'm thankful for that. Of course, we know his faithfulness was rewarded by becoming second in command in Egypt. And even after that, he still remained faithful. He didn't get a big head when he got promoted in Egypt. He still remained faithful to God. He was still kind and compassionate and considerate to others. And it's all because he defeated that temptation earlier in his life and got that taken care of, God was able to use him. And I'm sure other moments of temptation came in his life, but I'm sure he looked back and drew from that and grew, said, I defeated that temptation back then. Then I can continue to do that now. And God blessed Joseph, and he was able to reap a great reward for his family because of that. And I'm thankful for that Joseph remaining faithful during temptation. And then here's when we look at the next Joseph. This is the husband of Mary, or the earthly caregiver of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Joseph served as a protector and a provider for Mary and Jesus. He fulfilled the responsibilities with the humility and obedience. He gave of himself by sacrificing his own comfort and plans to ensure Jesus' safety and well-being, and demonstrated a sacrificial love and devotion. And despite pressures by society and challenges, Joseph remained faithful to God's plan as it was revealed to him through angelic messages. He gave himself by being obedient to the instructions of God, even if it was difficult or inconvenient, but he showed his trust in God's guidance. Matthew 1:18 through 25 is where we read about him. Talk about he experienced faithfulness in spite of humiliation. Joseph experienced faithfulness in spite of humiliation. Matthew 1:18 through 25 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn, and called his name Jesus. Now, I'm sure Joseph, when he first heard that, was confused. Hey, Mary's pregnant. What's wrong with this? But he was sensitive to the angels coming to talk to him. And even though he knew that probably marrying Joseph would probably make him publicly humiliated because of the situation, he still was faithful to God and showed his faithfulness even in spite of that. He gave himself by putting aside his pride and his own will, and he trusted God's plan. He showed humility to that. And, you know, the Catholic Church wants to put a big spot on Mary and say that she's the co-mediator with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't believe that. I do believe Mary should be honored, because I think she was chosen of God to do that. She should be honored. But I think Joseph is a great example for us to look at as well, because God not only chose Mary to bear Jesus, he chose Joseph to be the caregiver of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think he chose him because of that faithfulness. He knew. He said, I can trust Joseph. And the reason we know that is because he sent an angel, said, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that Joseph was a man of integrity and character, because he believed it and he followed through on what the angel told him to do. He went ahead, married Mary, and he was with her when the Lord was born, and he took care of our Lord Jesus Christ throughout his teenage years. And I think that Joseph had a good impact on the human side of our Lord Jesus Christ. He taught him how to work and be a carpenter and things like that. And it's all because he was faithful even in spite of humiliation, because you know there were people that looking at Joseph was like, you know, what are you doing marrying this girl who's already expecting and stuff like that? But he wasn't worried about that. He wanted to serve God and do what he knew God had told him and called him to do. And even in spite of the disdain and the humiliation that he knew he was going to receive, he followed through, because he knew God had a plan for his life. And another area we see of Joseph's obedience to God and being sensitive to the leadership is Matthew 2:13-15 in the flight to Egypt. And they were departed. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph. See, the angel keeps coming back and talking to him in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And there was there unto the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And the thing I see about this Joseph, when he's told to do something, he immediately does it. You know why? Because he's in tune with God, and he knows God's given him something to do, and he wants to follow it. And fleeing to Egypt protected Jesus from Herod's wrath. And we know God could have protected him in any way he wanted to, but he chose to use Joseph to do that, because Joseph had remained faithful in everything he told him to do before. And Joseph's commitment to safeguarding the Messiah, even at personal cost, I'm sure that was a cost to travel there. It was a long journey. It wasn't just going to the next town. They were going a ways away, and they had to prepare. But Joseph gave of himself by prioritizing Jesus and Mary's safety above his own comfort, his own stability. He showed a selfless courage, and he was used by God to fulfill prophecy that was given years before. You know, we may think about that as a small thing, oh, they went and hid out, but no, he interpreted scripture that had been written thousands of years before, said they're going to call his son out of Egypt. And God gave Joseph the opportunity to fulfill that scripture because of his faithfulness and because he had listened to what he had told him to do. And I think that that's a big deal if you think about that, because, you know, Jesus fulfilled every prophecy that was given about him. And Joseph was able to participate in that and bring about that prophecy. And, you know, we think about the prophecy of Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Joseph helped fill that out by getting him to Bethlehem to be born. And so God has people to use to get his will done. And Joseph was one that did that. He was willing to be submissive to God, to follow him, to listen to what he said. And like I said earlier, as soon as that angel told Joseph something to do, as soon as he got up the next day, he did it and he took care of it. And that's what we need to do. We know God's doing something in our lives. He's calling us to do something, to witness to somebody, to pass out a tract, to do something at the church, to anything like that. We need to immediately do that, because that's the will of God for our lives. It doesn't matter how insignificant it may seem. We don't know that coming here and just doing something to church may lead to somebody seeing it, stopping in, getting saved, and serving the Lord. It doesn't matter what you do. God's got a plan for every aspect of your life. Just taking a trip to Egypt. I mean, on the surface, that doesn't look like much, but it fulfilled a prophecy. It was something that God wanted done, had talked about, was going to happen for years, and Joseph was able to do that. And I'm going to look at Joseph of Arimathea now. Of course, we know this is the one that took Jesus off the cross and gave of his tomb for the Lord to be buried in. And Joseph was a wealthy and influential figure, yet his faith and devotion to Jesus set him apart. He gave of himself by using his resources and influences to honor Jesus despite potential consequences, demonstrating generosity and bravery. His status didn't deter him from publicly supporting Jesus despite potential backlash from the religious authorities. He gave of himself by risking his reputation and his standing in society to show his love and respect for Jesus Christ and displaying his boldness and loyalty. And this Joseph here, Joseph of Arimathea, his example of faithfulness is in the face of persecution. Because he was, historically, people say that he was a member of the religious group of that era. And we know that they were anti-Jesus. They didn't like Jesus at all, but he didn't care what they thought. He went and took the body of Christ and gave it. I'm looking at Matthew 27, 57 through 60. We see how Joseph cared for the body of Jesus. Matthew 27:57-60 says, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb. He didn't give God leftovers, second best. He gave God a brand new tomb, which was hewn out of a rock, and he rolled a great stone in the door of the sepulchre and departed. Joseph's request for the body of Jesus and providing a proper burial reflect the reverence that he had for and his love for Jesus, and he disregarded the social and religious implications that would have gone with it, and he gave of himself by honoring Jesus' humanity and dignity. Even after death, he showed reverence and compassion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 15:43-46, we see there's a key word I want to look at in here. It says, and Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he was already dead and called unto the centurion. He asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph, and he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone into the door of the sepulcher. But that first verse there, verse 43, says, Joseph came in boldly unto Pilate. He didn't care what anybody thought. He didn't care if anybody knew or what. He wanted to say, hey, I love Jesus. And he came and said, I want to do some reverence to him and take his body down. He didn't care what the religious people thought. He didn't care what the political people thought. He came in boldly and wanted to take the body down. Despite the risk of association with a condemned criminal, Joseph boldly approached Pilate to honor Jesus' death, displaying unwavering faith. And he gave himself by openly identifying with Jesus and sharing that as there was respectful and farewell, showing courage and devotion. But little did he know he would get that tomb back in just a couple of days. And so I think that it's important to look at how Joseph of Arimathea, even though he wasn't a well-known character in the Bible, he still exhibited great faith and courage, even in spite of some persecution I'm sure he had to deal with. He wanted to make sure Jesus was taken care of. So each of these Josephs, they exemplify different aspects of faithfulness, integrity, obedience, courage, and leaving a legacy of devotion to God. Their willingness to give of themselves to God's purpose, that serves as a powerful example for us today. And their stories can inspire us to remain faithful in adversity, trusting God and faithfulness in the sovereign plan that he has for our lives. We think about Joseph back in Egypt. He couldn't see what God was doing back then, but he trusted God. He knew God had something laid out for him. I'm sure he didn't see the palace when he was over here in the pit or in the prison or even in Potiphar's house, but he knew that God had something with him, and he wanted to be ready for what God had done. And they all gave of themselves. Joseph gave of himself to help his brethren. He gave of himself to help Potiphar and the Pharaohs and everybody there. And then Joseph gave of himself to protect Mary and Jesus as a child and growing up. And then Joseph of Arimathea gave of his wealth to give Jesus a proper burial. And I think those three men are marked by true faithfulness and devotion. And their stories inspire us to remain faithful, even in adversity, trusting God's faithfulness and his sovereign plan for our lives, giving ourselves to God and letting him work in us, even though we might have to go through some temptation and some persecution and some humiliation. That's all God conforming us to the image of his son. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus went through humiliation here on the earth. He went through temptation. He went through persecution, but he didn't fall and didn't yield to that. And of course, these men are great examples, but the best example we can have is our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And we know that, I talked about that a couple months ago as well, the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a lot of areas that he was tempted in, but he resisted them with the Bible, with Scripture. And that's something we can think about Joseph and use that as inspiration to resist the temptations that are going to be coming in our lives. And Joseph, the son of Jacob, experienced God's presence and guidance through dreams and interpretations, leading him to positions of influence and ultimately fulfilling God's plan for Israel's preservation and prosperity. Joseph, the husband of Mary, listened to God through angelic messages, guiding him to protect Jesus and fulfill the prophecy of the Messiah's birth, demonstrating trust and obedience in God's will. And Joseph of Arimathea, although not explicitly mentioned in the Scripture as receiving a direct message, I believe God moved on his heart to do that. And he showed awareness of God's presence in his life through his courage and devotion to Jesus by taking action to honor him, even in the face of opposition. And if we look at these three men, I think we can have a good recipe for revival through the awareness of God's presence and the following of his will for our lives. And just as these Josephs were attuned to God's will, to his voice, and were obedient to him, we as believers can experience the revival in our own lives by seeking God, by listening to him and following him through prayer, scripture reading, and living in a life that's faithful to church. And I think that these men were faithful. Man, I believe that they were attending church. I believe they sacrificed of themselves, and that's what we need to do. We need to face the temptation and let God win the victory for us because he's doing it. The awareness of God's presence in our life is going to bring us revival, and we will listen to active voices of God talking in our hearts and giving us what we need to do. And like these Josephs, they were all spoken to by God, and they immediately listened in what they did. And God blessed them because they obeyed what he told them to do. And God's going to bless us if we obey what he tells us to do. There's going to be some things in our hearts and lives that God's going to deal with us this week. God's going to work in our lives. God's going to touch us, and he's going to say, I want you to do this. And if we exhibit the faithfulness and integrity these men have, and we come put that on the altar, God's going to use us. But if we resist that and push back on it and say, no, I don't want to do that, or that doesn't make any sense, or somebody may make fun of me, then God's not going to be able to use us. But if we follow through like these men did and listen to the will of God for our lives, take that step of faith and trust him and realize and know that God's got a plan for us. We might not see it right now, and we may not see it till we get to heaven, but know that God's working in our lives. And the lives that we live could be an exhibit to others. And I think about how these three men, they faced scrutiny and backlash, yet they remained faithful. And each of them cared how Jesus was perceived. They each remained dedicated to ensuring that God, the others knew how they felt about God. They had a testimony of willingness and trust in God. And I think they were all very aware of the presence of God in their lives. They think about how Joseph fled that temptation, and the other Joseph, the husband of Mary, was aware that God was talking to him. And then Joseph of Arimathea, he was worried about how Jesus was perceived. He wanted to get him off the cross and honor him and bury him. And there's something that we can learn from each one of these men that know that if God's working in our hearts and lives, then that means that he trusts us. God can't work somebody he can't trust. And, you know, we got this revival coming up this week, and maybe that can be an encouragement to you. I hope to maybe listen to what God has in store for us, because, you know, we've talked about many times, like I said, even in the open, that God wants to do something, but we have to want to receive it. And I think these men wanted to receive God's will for their life. They wanted to receive something from the Lord. And when they took it to heart, God blessed them, and they were able to go on and on and on. And we reading about them right here in the Bible today and talking about them. And certainly, like I said, the beginning, those men weren't average Joes. They were more than average Joes. They were men of God who trusted Him and had integrity. And I think if we can learn from them and grow and apply that to our hearts this week for revival, to trust God no matter what the situation is, no matter the circumstances, no matter what we have going on in our lives, God can do a great work. It doesn't matter if it's 2024 and the world doesn't like Jesus and don't want anything to do with Him. The true believer does. And God can do a great work in this church right here this day. Doesn't matter who's president, doesn't matter who's governor, doesn't matter who's sheriff, doesn't matter anything what's going on. Because we got an average Joe. He's less than an average Joe, but we won't talk about that. But anyway, God can work in spite of that. And I'm thankful that God has these men in the Bible to help us and guide us. You know, it'd be one thing if God just saved us and said, figure it out. But He gave us a book of examples and testimonies and people that we can gain strength and courage from. And just those three people right there, you think about all the other people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, all the people in the Bible, but just those three men right there could help us have revival in our lives, being sensitive to the leadership of God. And we don't want to be average. We want to be above average, because we don't have an average God. We don't have a God with a little G. We got a big God who wants to do big things for us. And He saved us. He died on the cross for our sins. And, you know, I was talking about earlier, it's good to be saved. It's good to be saved and know it. It's good to be saved and be happy about it. And it's good to be saved and know who's keeping you, because there's nothing I can do to keep myself. And if I'm sensitive to leadership and guidance of the Lord in my life and follow Him, then I can be above average Joe. And I'm thankful for those three men. I hope that was encouragement to you this morning.